My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing. No, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not getting no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
you better. Morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Today on the radio show, let's see. We got Jason Smith coming up in the next segment. Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Connor Dunning joins me again because Jeffrey is out gallivanting, and good for him. He deserves it. He's the hardest working man in show business, so I applaud him taking a little bit of time out in Las Vegas, I believe. But that's the show, Jason Smith. And then Chris Harrington. Big day in Memphis. We got two introductory press conferences. One at noon over at the Lori Walton Center. That is going to be to introduce Ed Scott, Dr. Ed Scott, as the new athletics director at the University of Memphis. And then 5 p.m. over down at FedEx Forum, we're going to have Zach Edey. Is he going to be in town? And Jalen Wells will be introduced as the newest Grizzlies. Camp Spencer will not be, because he's not technically a Grizzly. Stupid. So offensive. I will never understand it. I just don't understand it. I guess I don't understand why the NBA's schedule is so locked up that it prevents us from dealing in reality when the NFL's never does. I'm sure there's a simple explanation. It would seem like it's something that's fixable. Anyway, we got two big press conferences, Ed Scott and Zach Edey, so that's fun. Is there anything that you want to hear or are intrigued by or think is important to extract from either of these press conferences?
Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you.
I think I would like to see what Ed Scott's ultimate goals are for Memphis. I would like to continue to see, you know, what he wants to do with fundraising, because that's one of the positives he has coming into the job. I also want to see what his plan is with continued stadium renovations and his plan to try to get Memphis into a bigger conference. I don't know if he's going to be able to cover all that.
I don't know that he has a plan. I don't know that he can here's my plan, how I'm going to get
Well, maybe not a plan, but just – I guess I just want to continue to hear the message that Memphis has been sending. I want those two things to match up. And then from Zach Edey, to be honest, I just want to hear him speak. I'm curious to see what he thinks about Memphis.
See, so for me, the Ed Scott thing, is in some ways, the interest there is, although I have gone back and I've listened to Ed Scott do some interviews, which are online, and you can go listen to Ed Scott talk about various things. Like, we've never met him, you know? I mean, we haven't met Zach Edey, but it feels like we have, right? Zach Edey, I've known Zach Edey for years now, whatever, you know? Like, so I'll get to what I'm intrigued there is with Ed Scott, it's just like, who are you? How do you come across? What's the, you know? And really, it is a, there's a curiosity about him. I'll be honest. I think if Memphis had picked a known quantity, if they had picked Ryan Albert, who had been here before, or Jeff Crane, who's here now as the interim, I think there's a lot of people who would have liked that because they know them, right? They've been here. So sometimes you get introductory press conferences, and you're already friends. You know, so I think that would have produced some enthusiasm. I don't think it would have sold a single ticket, you know, whatever, that kind of enthusiasm. But I think, like, Jeff Crane has friends in town. So Ryan Alpert has friends and contacts in town. So I think that would have, in some ways, you know, welcome the old friend back or elevate the current. Like, there would have been a celebratory tone to this. I think here, I think the celebration is the history being made with the first African American AD at the University of Memphis. But to me, there's a curiosity. It's just like, we don't know you. Tell us about you. Those were, by the way, the other two finalists, is my understanding, for the job. But Ed Scott gets the job. And as I've outlined before, he has now a big job in front of him, huge opportunity in front of him. Memphis is as good a group of five job as there is out there. He's taking over the University of Memphis at a moment when it is when the athletics department is operating as well as it ever has. I mean, there's things are incredibly promising with the big year coming up for the football program. The fact that funding is available for a new football stadium or a refurbished football stadium. The fact that if anyone's going to be someday elevated in the Power Five from the current group of five, you would think it would be the University of Memphis. There is more success across athletic programs. We talk about women's soccer a lot, men's soccer, men's tennis teams. Like, it's not just, I know that doesn't matter to most listeners, but it's not just basketball and football. So there's a lot of good things happening at Memphis. There's also a lot of peril at Memphis. You got to raise the money for the football stadium. Got to actually execute the reconstruction of the football stadium. Got to figure out how to make money from that. Got to raise ticket prices for a ticket base, fan base that has already been shrunk, let's be honest. And it's not going to really, like, even if it's a nicer stadium, the Memphis fan base is like, well, damn, I've been paying $20 for 87 years for these seats, and now I got to pay $40? It's not going to be like that. It's actually going to be, I've been paying $60, and now I got to pay $137 or whatever it is. I mean, it's ticket prices will go up. You're going to have to negotiate all of that, plus the situation with basketball, however one sees that. But I can tell you Laird and Penny didn't have a great relationship, so he's got to forge a better relationship with Penny. And so there's a lot on the table. And I don't think we'll get much clarity on any of it, but I'm anxious to meet the guy and see what he has to say. For Zach Edey, I feel like I met him, even though, of course, I haven't in person, but that's just fun, right? Isn't it? Like, for Zach Edey, you want to know a little bit about, okay, back at the Combine, when you were talking about, when you told Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian that you like Memphis, how big an inkling did you have? Like, did you going into draft night know you were going to be a Grizzly? Did you think you were going to be a Grizzly? I'll say this. As you sort of marinate on this pick, it was fun to see the video of him with his teammates in West Lafayette, wasn't it?
Like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, there's a dude, like, none of them are going to be NBA players, and they couldn't have been more thrilled for him. That says something about them, certainly, but also him. That says something about him. They're thrilled that their teammate is going 9 to the Grizzlies. He's thrilled. He wanted to come here. And so just to hear that, I think, unless he's a bust, in which case the Zach Edey experience will not be fun, if he's good, the Zach Edey experience is going to be great and wonderful fun. Don't you think? Like, if Zach Edey is a B-plus player, forget the impact, the fit, whatever. Isn't that more fun than if Cody Williams were a B-plus player and
without
you drafted Cody Williams?
Without a doubt.
We have a giant on the team now.
That's true.
It's a giant.
We have a giant walking amongst us.
And even if it goes poorly, it'll just be like a bad weekend in Vegas where you're partying for 1 or 2 days and then you have the horrific hangover on your way home.
People will see him at Target.
Yes.
You know?
I see Luke Kennard there all the time.
We are going to get photos. Which Target?
The one on Colonial.
The Colonial Target.
Yeah.
Are you going to continue to see Luke Kennard at the Colonial Target? We'll get into that in a minute.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's a giant walking amongst us. And so I'm intrigued by both press conferences, but those both unfold today. We've got Ed Scott at noon, and then and fans are welcome to go to that one. Not welcome to go to the one. You can watch the Grizzlies press conference on all their outlets, but that one is for media only, and that's at 5. So that'll be unfolding during your show with Gabe.
It will.
Can you carry it? Do you have the technology?
We do have the technology.
That's usually where David Cobb is coming on.
So I'll have to speak with Gabe.
He's a big Grizzly fan. He's not a giant.
He is not a giant.
He is decidedly not a giant.
No, David Cobb is not a giant. One of the few that are about just a little bit shorter than I am.
Anyway, so we got that today. I can't pretend that this show doesn't occasionally look up from the world of sports at the broader world. We've got Fish on Friday on Tuesday when we talk about interest rates and inflation and all kinds of things. We got Sam Hardiman on Wednesdays when we talk about the nature of the city. And occasionally I'm known, although I try not to, honestly, too much, I'm known to weigh in on the issues of the day. So I'm not going to duck last night because of the horrific viewing experience, national crisis that it was. It was atrocious. And when I say that, particularly for Joe Biden. He tottered out there, literally from the walk alone. You're like, oh no, this isn't going to go well. And then he nearly died halfway through the first sentence. Like, and it just went downhill from there. He would lose his way from beginning of sentences to end of paragraphs. It was just a devastating performance for Joe Biden. Trump was Trump. Like, he was his same whatever, falsehoods, exaggerations, whatever. But next to a cadaver, he looked pretty good. And let's be honest, we're used to the falsehoods and the exaggerations and the all that stuff. For Joe Biden, it was devastating. And right now you have, I think, a very real possibility. Certainly it is now the call for lots of people who have been supporting him for him to step aside. Thomas Friedman writes a column in the New York Times and said he considers himself a friend of Joe Biden, and he has a column today saying what I think a lot of people are thinking, which is he can step aside, release his delegates, and they can have an open convention and pick someone. It would be messy. It would be whatever. But I can defend Joe Biden's record. I cannot defend his ability to do half the job, which is communicate. And that was just an appalling performance last night. I hope, for the sake of the country, that Joe Biden says, you know what, I need to let someone else do this. It's amazing how it works. Ego is a powerful thing. And you're able to delude yourself into thinking, no, I'm doing this for the good of the country. I'm doing this for... And you saw this, like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was lionized by people on the left as a Supreme Court justice. I'm sure she persuaded herself that she was doing a good thing to hang on when she was desperately ill to be a Supreme Court justice. But because of that, she was then replaced by someone with very different views than she has. And she did the country a disservice by making that decision. And I think Joe Biden would be doing the country a disservice as well. Drew Hill texted me today because it came out that Joe Biden's people are saying he had a cold. And it's been pointed out to me that if Jeffrey were here, he would be calling it. That's the ultimate tell your story.
not the story, but just doesn't matter. Like, we saw what we saw, and it was brutal. So there you go. That's all I'm going to say about that. I think we can then turn back to the NBA draft, which is wrapped up. First two-day NBA draft ever. And we can turn to the question that I think is probably the most important question emerging from the draft, and that is Kyle Filipowski dating his cousin?
His cousin? I thought it was his babysitter.
No, but also his cousin.
It's also his cousin.
Well, I don't know, and I'm disappointed. I am disappointed, honestly, because you're, like, substantially younger than me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little disappointed that you don't know this. But
I know about the story.
There's another twist. And the twist, well, let's give people, in the middle of the day, I don't know where this started, whatever. But then as the day unfolded, Kyle Filipowski picked in the second round, Kyle Filipowski of Duke, you have his mother and his older brother on Twitter. On Twitter? Was it on Twitter or was it just this?
It was on
copied
Twitter.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
Saying that he was dating a woman who is 28 or 26. I think she's 26. And they're both basically saying that she's been grooming him. She went to the prom with him when, she was substantially older, had graduated from college.
I think she was 23.
Yeah. And he was going to his prom. And so they're just saying, you have no idea, basically. She's been grooming him. She's been, whatever. They're just trashing her on Twitter. There had earlier the day before, when he wasn't selected in the first round, been pictures of her consoling him. And but then in addition, so that was just, and then, of course, the story goes, she's grooming him to be Mormon and be his the husband and whatever else. Then he's drafted by the Utah Jazz, which made it. So anyway, so then there's a photo from way, way, way back when from Tay Flipper posted something. And Tay Flipper is his sister, okay, is Kyle Filipowski's sister. And she posted something that said, hanging out with my cousins again. And who's in the photo? The woman. So does that mean that he is cousins? And here's the truth. Peter, who goes to Duke, was graduated alongside Kyle Filipowski. He said everybody at Duke knew this, like knew it was weird, and knew about, well, they might even be cousins.
Oh, my God.
It's unclear.
I'll be honest.
I'm not an expert on this. I'm speaking about it only from, and I expected you, how old are you?
I'm 29.
Yeah, you're under 30. I expected you to have totally gotten to the bottom of this. I'll be honest, Connor, kind of disappointed.
That's fine. It's
look into the cousin.
I do think it's
between
funny.
Now and Gabe, look into the cousin situation.
I'll look
Let
into
me
the
ask
cousin
you this.
Situation.
Do you think any of this has anything to do, weird girlfriend situation, maybe estranged from family, whatever else, does that have anything to do why he was picked in the second round and not this first round?
Probably so. There are rumors that are coming out that is the main reason he dropped. I think that that's kind of where this came from, is that there were rumors for why he was dropping and it had something to do with the girlfriend. And then the family came out and started telling their story about what had happened. I was very aware of the situation. I did not see the cousin angle.
The cousin angle. No, that was
whatsoever.
An additional twist that I was. And I cannot confirm it or deny it. I'm not.
Could it be the Bear is back on Hulu, the new season, and they call someone cousin on that show, but he is not actually their cousin. So could it be a Bear cousin situation?
I'm gonna send you the.
I did see a great tweet yesterday that said the NBA second round was at 3 o'clock during the day, and it turned into an episode of Maury. So that was funny.
Did you enjoy the 2-day draft?
I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to.
I did, actually. I like, because
they also ripped through the second round.
do you think the 3 o'clock was only because of the presidential debate? Like, why was it at three?
I'm not quite sure. Maybe so.
I actually like normally you get to the second round and you've had too much pizza, you've had too much whatever. And so to have a little bit of a breath and come back, I think it. You get a fresh start on this. You get a fresh start on this. Now, a lot of people won't come back because they won't be interested necessarily in the, you know, the second round. But I also liked the panel that they had on ESPN. Maybe better than the original draft panel. You know, you had Woj actually sitting in the chair there.
Right.
You had, what's his name, the former exec from the Warriors. He was. I thought he was really good.
Bob Meyer.
Yeah, Bob Meyer. I thought Bob Meyer was good. Did you think he was good?
I thought Bob Meyer was good. He always tried to attack the conversation from a GM perspective, which I enjoyed.
Well,
he was talking about team building. He wasn't just trying to say, he wasn't doing these ridiculous comps and all these things. He was trying to take a player and tell you how they were going to fit into a system.
I thought he was good. We talked about this before. It's just bizarre that they can't actually tell you who they're going to. Like, it's crazy. Juan Nunez is drafted technically by Indiana and is going to San Antonio, okay? Because everything's traded. And they have Cassidy Hubbard is doing the interviews. But we know that he's going to San Antonio. But she's not allowed to talk about it or something, the fact that he's going to San Antonio. So he puts on the Indiana hat. And then she asks him, how are you going to help the Indiana Pacers take it to the next level? How can you impact winning in Indiana? I swear to God, it was, I'm not, I had to turn it off briefly. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, you're literally asking him this question and he's going to San Antonio? There should be a way to figure this thing out. I know it's a small quibble, but it's ridiculous. But I enjoyed it, and I think I enjoyed it in part because the Grizzlies had 2 seconds, so that made it more fun. And there certainly was a theme to their draft as they draft two of literally the best shooters in the draft. Jalen Wells, who didn't even play Division I basketball until this year at Washington State, Division II player, but he's big, 6'6", 6'7", and hit 41.7% of his threes. That's good. And then Cam Spencer, everyone knows Cam Spencer, particularly Santi Aldama, who played with him for years at Loyola Maryland. He was at Loyola Maryland, he was at Rutgers, and then, of course, he won the title at UConn. Scrappy player, and he hit 43.6% of his threes last year. So those were the two, and we knew coming into this draft that the Grizzlies needed size, they needed a center, and they needed shooting. They got size, they got the center, they got shooting. Now, whether that's useful shooting that'll actually play for them, certainly this year is seems unlikely that it'll help them this year. Meantime, our friends over at ESPN saw this effort where the Grizzlies crossed off, dotted every I and crossed every T. They gave them a B minus. Why did they give them a B minus? Can you call up in front of you?
Oh yes,
the
I have
report
it right
card.
Here. I have
read
it right
the
here.
Report card.
Even having Edie at number 4 overall in my stats based projections, based on his historic level of production at Purdue.
This is Pelton.
I was shocked to see him go in the top 10. Check out my reaction on Hoop Collective live show if you don't believe me. Like scouts, I'm uncertain Edie can be a full-time starter because of the limitations imposed by his defensive mobility, and I would have been more comfortable drafting him in the teens. So it's the whole, well, you could have gotten him in the teens, but maybe you couldn't have gotten
it's
him in the teens.
It's just ridiculous.
That concern
be better
noted,
than that.
The Grizzlies needed to come out of this draft with a center and got one. I like the relative value better for Memphis in round 2. Wells is in the top 30 of my projections thanks to his combination of 42% three-point shooting and his lone Division I season and size at 6'8". The Grizzlies got one of the best shooters in Spencer, who shined as a transfer addition to help UConn with the national title.
Listen, his own projections had him at 4.
I know.
If those are your projections and you think maybe you got to revise your projections. Like, maybe your projections, like, have some faith in your projections, right? Put your grades where your projections are or whatever else. Projected him to be 4th. And is mad that he wasn't drafted in the teens. And obviously Kevin Pelton's great, but still. So there you go. That's what they did. Jalen Wells and Cam Spencer. Jalen Wells will be introduced today. He was on site. He was there dressed all in white with his daughter. Look, I think daughter. And so that was cute. He could barely get the hat on his head. And then Cam Spencer was not there. But Jalen Wells will also be at the press conference today. Again, it's Zach Edey and Jalen Wells. And so what we have, I'm avoiding Bronny for now. What we have is a Grizzlies roster that, listen, we have to figure out whether Luke Kennard is still going to be shopping at the Colonial Target. Like, that's tomorrow. And the deadline is coming to go ahead and to Grizzlies decide if they're going to pick up his option. But right now, you can actually look at a roster and say they're done. I mean, you could. If Cam Spencer is the two-way, right? Don't you think Cam Spencer? It's weird. He's more ready, it feels like, than Jalen Wells, but he's the later second-round pick.
Right.
And so you feel like he's the two-way, right? And Jalen Wells probably is on the main roster. Don't you think Jalen Wells would be
so.
On the main roster?
I would think so.
So here's who you got. You got Ja and Bane and Marcus and Jaren and Zach Edey as your starters. Down so far? And not that you would do that. You might start Vince Williams or you might not start. But can we pencil those in as your starters?
I think that's
Ja,
fair.
Ja, Desmond Bane, Marcus Smart, Jaren Jackson, and Zach Edey. Okay. Then coming off the bench, you got Vince and Gigi on the wing. And you got Santi and Brandon Clark as bigs, right? And then for now, anyway, you got Luke Kennard shooter, right? So that gets us to 10. Then you still have, we have not accounted for, Jake LaRavia, still with us, Zaire Williams, still with us, John Conchar, still with us, and Derrick Rose, still with us. That is not a particularly persuasive end of the old roster,
is it? It is not. It is not.
There's a lot of waste there. With all, I'm not, no commentary on their value as human beings, right? But that's four spots.
It's no secret they've been trying to get rid of a few of those guys.
You'd be happy if they just retired tomorrow, any of the four, right? But that gets you then to 14, and then if Jalen Wells has a roster spot, that's 15, you're done. You're done. And then you have, you obviously, you're a little light on point guard there, right? Because you're counting on, obviously, Ja as your starter, and then Bane can handle the ball, Marcus Smart can handle the ball, and then you've got your two-ways, Scottie Pippen on a two-way, and there's no reason to elevate him. Like, that's an advantage to have him on a two-way. That's a bonus to have
right.
him on a two-way. So he'll be playing some point guard for you. And then Cam Spencer on the two-way. And then if you need that other big who we talked about yesterday, that's Trey Jamison on a two-way. Isn't that your roster? Right? Like, right now.
As of now, yes.
Okay. So what do you see possibly happening now?
I could see that. I know that they're trying to get off of Zaire Williams. So I would be surprised if we began the season with Zaire Williams on the team. It's not easy getting rid of him. It's not easy. But I just don't understand why bad teams wouldn't take him.
He is not so persuasively. He has had moments.
He's had moments. But they're all with Ja Morant. Almost all of them are connected to Ja. And I think that may be the worry.
If you're a bad team, why not take him?
If you need to lose, he can help. He can certainly help you in that category.
If you get some seconds for the trouble to take him? Do you think you have to pay some?
I think that may be the issue. Is there? They would have to pay someone to take him at this point.
A second? Why not?
Yeah, I would do it. I would do it. John Conchar, I do think could potentially help a team, and I think he's someone that may be attractive.
He's too expensive,
but he is a little bit expensive
right now. Way too expensive for what he offers.
I have said most of
the offseason. They seem to think they want Derrick Rose back.
That makes sense. That makes sense. But I would like to get. Move off of John Conchar and bring back Lamar Stevens. That if I could make that flip, I get it.
People love Lamar Stevens. That's not happening.
It's not happening.
That's unfortunate. I'm dubious that would happen. And so then you get the Kennard situation, and we'll talk to Chris about that. See if he has any predictions about that. We'll obviously have clarity on that tomorrow, and then this weekend we've got the start of free agency, and so that will start to unfold. And so we'll see what they do. There are a lot of folks who think, you know, packaging, you know, sending Luke off somewhere it makes some sense. I think the point that Chris made yesterday, that if you're looking at wing depth, you know, you've got Bane, you've got Smart, you've got Vince, you've got Gigi, all maybe possibly ahead of him, right? So do you really pay nearly $15 million bucks for a guy who's...
And you took two snipers in the draft.
But... Yeah, but let's be honest. If we're playing game 5 tomorrow, Do you want Cam Spencer sniping or Luke Kennard sniping?
No, I'd rather
it's
have
not
Luke
even
Kennard.
Close.
I'd rather have Luke Kennard. I'm just, to me, it seemed
it
like.
It does not make the team better
hint.
To let him go.
I agree with that, but it's just too much money.
Right now, this roster, okay? Let me ask you this. Let's look at the West right now. We only know what we know right now. Like, would you project this team to finish ahead of Denver?
Do they have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
Either that or a reasonable facsimile.
I would probably say no.
You'd have to say no ahead. There's no one. Go ahead, project what might happen between now. Do you believe that when, I'll phrase it this way. Do you believe when opening tip comes along, you will be projecting these Grizzlies to finish ahead of Denver?
No.
No. Okay. Do you believe you will be projecting them to finish ahead of Minnesota?
Yes.
Yes.
I think so.
Okay. Dallas.
Yes.
You think they'll finish ahead of Dallas?
I do.
Oklahoma City.
No.
Okay, so you right now you think, is there any other team in the West that you will project to finish ahead in your own personal Connor Dunning projections? The only teams in the West that you will finish project, right, that you believe, if you were guessing now, you will finish project ahead of the Grizzlies are Denver and Oklahoma City?
Those are the only two that I know for sure would be ahead of them. I think that they will be right with Minnesota fighting for that third
and where do
spot.
You think, okay, and where do you think Kevin Pelton and his fancy little projection machine that spits out a B-minus, where do you think he and his ilk will be projecting the Grizzlies to finish?
Five. Five will be the safe spot because they're not going to give them home court advantage, but they'll put them.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In the playoffs. Very much in the playoffs.
They will not project them to be there's no chance they will project them to be ahead of Denver,
right,
or Oklahoma City. They will not project them. Given what we just saw, they're not going to project them to be ahead of Minnesota or Dallas. They're just not. So who am I missing? There's the
LA, Clippers, Phoenix.
That's the group they're going to. The other four are going to. L.A., the Clippers,
well, that's
Phoenix.
Why.
Those are the group that they're going to be.
And that was 4, 5, 6 last year.
They're the ones who are going to be in the, where do we put the Grizzlies here? But the other ones, no. They will not. Maybe that's because you're being knocked down because of what we just witnessed.
I think so. That's why I think that ESPN and people will project them either 5 or 6, but I could see them finishing at 4. Minnesota might be better next year. It's just, to be honest, I think it's going to come down to the schedule and injuries. Which team's going to be healthier?
Well, so much will come down to injuries. Yeah. Two other things from the draft, and then we'll talk to Jason Smith coming up, then Chris Harrington. After that, we'll get on all this with Chris Harrington. Two other things from the draft. One was Bronny goes 55 to the Lakers. If there's any story that bores me out of the draft, it's Bronny. And it's funny, like, I know that's the national talker. Here's the point. There was talk yesterday that if some other team had picked him, he was going to go to Australia, right? That was the idea. Who else needed it? Who else would have picked him? Like, it's not a sacrifice to not pick him. It's a burden to have to pick him. And so, but am I upset by it? No, I'm not at all upset by it. Am I upset if a CEO of a company gets his kid a job at the company, that happens in America all the time. I just, to pick this as your place of outrage, is sort of surprising to me. I don't think it really helps the Lakers, except for keeps LeBron happy. And then I don't even care really about the fact that they don't admit that it's LeBron making. None of it bothers me. Do what you do. You know, whatever. He got it on his own merits. Fine. I get it. Whatever. Tell yourself whatever you want. Literally none of this bothers me. Watching him play will interest me. That will. Like, I will be interested when he plays. Maybe not as much as the world is when he plays in summer league, and I'll really be super. I will note the moment when he and LeBron are in an NBA game together. That will be an interesting moment, don't you think?
It'll be historic. Yes, why Gabe and I said, jokes aside, it is pretty cool that LeBron
it's
is
totally
going to be
cool.
Playing with his son.
And there's nothing about it that outrages me. Nothing about it that outrages me. If so, I'm being a total hypocrite because I can be outraged looking at businesses all over Memphis where kids are getting an upper hand because they're dad or mom. So I just am not going to be outraged by it at all. I'm a little bored by it.
Sure.
Because we've been talking about it endlessly, and he just doesn't matter as a player right now. But I'm not outraged in the slightest. And then finally, David Jones gets two-way with the Philadelphia 76ers. So that's better than not getting a two-way.
Right.
Jaquan Walton, Oklahoma City. What do you make of the David Jones situation now that we know where he is headed?
He's got to work on his defense if he wants to find a spot in the NBA. That's the first thing he's got to work on. Because if he cannot defend somebody, his scoring ability is not going to help. I also have questions about whether or not that three-point shot's going to be able to maintain. And we already know that he can't really create because he turns the ball over a lot. So I think that David Jones has a lot of work to do. I'm wishing him the best, but I fear that with his age and lack of defense, it's going to be difficult for him.
If David Jones was Bronny, right? Literally, Bronny played exactly like David Jones.
Uh-huh.
He had the exact game and numbers and everything as David Jones. Would people be higher on him than they are on Bronny as Bronny? In other words, is there more to be hopeful for just purely the game about David Jones or about Bronny?
I think Bronny. His defensive upside is real.
Because there's a thing. Because here's the thing. What David Jones is good at, there's a million players who are better at it than he is, and they're bigger than he is.
Especially on the
Sixers. They're better shooters than he is, or just generally in the NBA.
Like, right.
Who needs a freaking undersized wing scorer who can't guard and isn't a knockdown shooter? A volume shooting, undersized guy who can't guard and turns the ball over, right? That doesn't exist in the NBA. Lester Quinones carved out a place in the NBA because he fits a role. Hustle, play defense, hit some shots. Don't need to dominate the ball. That's the opposite of how David Jones plays. With Bronny, at least if you squint, you can say, all right, what does he do? And what he does is He can guard, he can be a lock. The projection might someday, if you squint, you might be able to say he can be a lockdown defender as a point guard. And he actually, what people say is that he makes the right play all the time. Like, he actually has a very high basketball IQ. He's willing to accept a role, move the ball, get it to the better players, and play hellacious defense. That's something that a role player in the NBA, yes, that's a valuable thing. I don't think it'll probably work out for Bronny either to have a regular role in the NBA. Will he ever be a regular rotation player in the NBA? I would bet on Bronny being that before I would bet on David Jones being that.
I think that's a fair bet. I still have questions about whether or not Bronny will be able to stick.
I would bet on neither of them first.
Oh, neither, yeah.
Neither would be my first pick. But if I had to say, I'd ask you, which of these two players will be a rotation player in the NBA someday? You'd pick Bronny, wouldn't you?
I would pick Bronny. Because if you squint enough, you see kind of Davion Mitchell or D'Anthony
Melton.
Right,
Martin. That's
like if you
exactly
squint enough.
Right. All right. We'll ask Jason Smith when we return. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day from 11 until 2. Jason, so we've been the ESPN gave the Memphis Grizzlies a B-, Connor tells me. But he's now checked back in on the Bronny thing. What kind of grades over there, Connor, for Bronny?
ESPN gave it a B+, and The Ringer gave it an A+.
A+.
Great.
How about that? So, are we...
Was it just the pick itself or their entire draft? Is that including Connect? Some of these broke it down by each pick gets a grade, and some taking it on the whole. So is it...
ESPN was both. The Ringer was just the Bronny pick got an A+ on the Ringer, but
what's
ESPN,
the logic for the Bronny pick getting an A+?
Storybook endings.
Oh, come on. I'll say this. As I have grown and matured, I care more about some things and less about other things. One of the things I care least about that I once cared about obsessively as a teen was draft grades. Draft grades are... I like draft comps in advance of a draft, also meaningless, better than draft grades. Draft grades. But anyway, so having said that, give the Grizzlies a draft grade.
I'll go maybe B+. I like because you address needs. You address the biggest need. You had to come out of this draft with a center. Talking with Connor about that yesterday, whether it was, you know, using the pick to get one of these rookie centers, or using it to acquire a veteran one. I felt like you clearly did, and they did as well. That's what's important. And then shooting, particularly if you're going to make a decision that says that, you know, you're not going to pick up the option on Luke Kennard. Now, those guys can't come in right now and do what Luke Kennard can do, but you're setting yourself up for a team that right now lacks it, certainly lacks proven shooting, particularly if you decide to move off Kennard. You need more guys in the, the fold coming down the pike. And so you addressed a couple of needs. We'll see. I mean, you know, backup point guard was an area you could have hit, but maybe you feel good with what you got from Scottie Pippen Jr. on the two way. Like you guys mentioned, you still got Bane, you still got Smart that can do that. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure some things are still left to shake out. I wouldn't be mad if they went out and still got another veteran big guy. Because like you guys said, you still got to feel like, you know, there's going to be some open spots if you can move off of Zaire. And why wouldn't you at this point? There's such a log jam on the wing now and so many guys in front of a guy like Zaire. He had his chance. And so I'm hopeful that still a couple more things shake out. But I think, I would give it a B+, because I think the Grizzlies address the major needs.
And just to clarify, if you had been Zach Kleiman and the choices that were available were the choices that would have been available to you when the pick rolled around at 9 and you could not have traded down, you had to make the pick. I just want to get you on record here. Would you have picked Zach Edey?
I think so. I mean, I can tell myself, you know, because I said it before the draft, I was like a lot of us, I love Dalton Connect and the idea that he could come in immediately and give you sort of impact shooting like we're talking about instead of being a prospect. And so I think by the time the draft had rolled around, like I said, and after you saw that the Grizzlies could not move up, even though clearly there was an attempt, it wasn't just Fisher. Woj was on it too. I think that's where I was take Edey. And Connor made a great point yesterday. You know, you so many of these grades are broken down by, I can't believe he went top 10. I can't believe he did this. And listen, number one, I mean, where would the Grizzlies, if it had been a typical year, right? The Grizzlies wouldn't be picking 9 in the first place. And you can say, sure, there's an opportunity to add somebody that can help you right now, right? If you're in the top 10, but the Grizzlies needed this guy for right now. And so while other teams, yes, if they had been at 9 and taken Zach Edey, I think you can make a strong, that same argument. This was a reach. You should have taken him lower. For the Grizzlies, it was perfect. You drop back, you risk the chance of losing him. And so for all of those reasons, I just think, I would have probably done this by the time it had rolled around. And after I had missed on trying to move up to 6, you know, or even 5, I would have taken Zach Edey. And I think the Dalton Connect fall sort of validates that.
All right, you've got to tell me, who has a greater chance, who would you be betting on to become a regular rotation player in the NBA? You'd probably bet neither, but if you had to pick one, would you pick Bronny or would you pick David Jones?
Oh, I mean, there's just because Bronny's got so much more going for him in terms of the
opportunity. Right. Oh,
yes.
you think?
The players themselves. Like,
can that get him a rotation? Can that can get him a spot on the roster? Can that get him a regular rotation?
Eventually, again, he's always, it feels like, going to have that spot on the roster in a way that you feel like David Jones possibly will not. I mean, again, you know, here's the thing. I mean, how much different are they in size? And the one thing about Bronny James is he can run the point, which is what you have to do that size. If David Jones is 6'4", he is a tiny shooting guard, is what he is, who can't. And Connor pointed it out. You guys talked about it. He's not a ball handler. He's not a guy who can play on the ball and be the setup guy for you. And so even as a player, I feel like Bronny's ahead of him. But just think about, whether it's Rich Paul that's controlling things and has got the path laid out.
He's going to get a million opportunities. He's going
to eventually get him the rotation spot, whether it's with the Lakers and his dad or more likely down the road somewhere else. He's going to get, I would bet Bronny, I'll bet.
That's interesting. So Ed Scott is going to be introduced today as the new athletic director at the University of Memphis. And we know his resume, but we don't know that much else about him. Honestly, I said this yesterday. If you just stack his resume up against any of the other resumes, as good or better, like compared to if the finalists were, and I believe this to be true, Ryan Alpert, Jeff Crane, and Ed Scott, Ed Scott's the only one with a PhD, I believe, and he's the only one who's been a sitting AD before, I believe. And so then one of them was a deputy at Jeff Crane, was obviously here at Memphis and then at South Carolina, and Ryan Alpert has been, now he's at Tennessee and he's been at Memphis, and both, I like them both. I think I'd been happy with any of those choices. But purely on resume, I think Ed Scott measures up every bit as well as the other two, purely on resume. Now, he doesn't have the advantage that those two have of having connections in this community, knowing where this program is, knowing who matters, all of that. And at this particular critical time, like they're midway through this stadium project and stuff, it's going to be important for him to get up to speed. If you sat down with Ed Scott and he said, Jason, you grew up here, man. Tell me about what do I need to know about this community and about the way I need to do my job in this community to be successful? What does Ed Scott have to know about Memphis?
Just how much different it is than, and I realize you could probably start any conversation about any place in the country like this, but just how much different it is than any other place in the country, in the sense that the attention, the love, and here's the thing: as an outsider, you may think, well, aren't the Grizzlies a pro town, right? If you've never been here, you'd say, well, they've got the Grizzlies. They're surely the media attention and the focus is on the Grizzlies. Or even if you don't think that way, you'd think that they're going to get a lot of the attention. Even with the Grizzlies, though, Ed Scott's got to understand, and anybody that's lived here for a long time is going to tell him that this is something special. It's something different in the sense that this is kind of like, if we're comparing it to a professional franchise, it's kind of like Green Bay in terms of the attention on it. If you're comparing it, you know, to college, it's like Lexington and Kentucky in terms of the love, in terms of the scrutiny, in terms of the way people follow this program. And it's been built in and it's continued to last even with the addition of the Memphis Grizzlies and Memphis becoming a pro town. And so what you're going to have are people that are you know, not just again on a sort of accomplishment basis, but on a day-to-day basis, sizing you up, you know, measuring you, whether or not you're doing a good job in terms of selling the program and everything else. And particularly at this time where it feels like, and especially on the football side, but that is a critical side when it comes to where this university is positioned from an athletic standpoint, you're in a position to seize something. You're in a position where people are as giddy about Memphis football as they've ever been. And so right now it's a critical time for a university that's covered, you know, in a way that most aren't, you know, that is still a sort of a part of the heartbeat of this city. You are in a critical position to seize right now a big opportunity. And so you'll be getting measured and graded every day. And, you know, I think that's what I tell them, is that the passion for this program is probably something, and I would have told Tubby Smith and anybody else the same thing. Penny Hardaway knew it because he lived it, but the passion for this program is you could say unmatched, rivals anything. And he's got to know that coming in terms of what he's about to be the gatekeeper of. And so it's how much people care, Jeff. And again, he's got some indication of that, but you really don't get an idea until you're in those shoes. Just like you don't know how hard a job is until you're actually walking in those shoes. And you laid out, you know, in terms of everything he's sort of got, I thought really well in the column he wrote a couple of days ago in terms of things that Scott's got to address. He's got a full plate. But I'd start with the passion this city, even as a pro town now, still has for that university, for its athletic department, and for success, you know, for that program to sort of, you know, reach what it's always strived for, the pinnacle. Whether that's in the, you know, basketball trying to win a national championship, or football and trying to get to the promised land in terms of one of these Power Five conferences. He's coming at a great time, but he's certainly going to be handed some great responsibility.
It is kind of amazing. You just think about it. If the University of Houston had a new AD, or if the University of Cincinnati had an AD, I'm just looking at some that recently were elevated, or if SMU had a new AD, and there was the, you know, the main talk station in those cities,
exactly,
they would not be mentioned. They would not be mentioned. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be mentioned that there's a press conference and what do we think and who are the candidates. That's not what they're talking about in Cincinnati or in Houston or in SMU in that circumstance. But here it is. This place is on now. And he was in Lexington, and obviously if they talk, mm-hmm. they care about the University of Virginia in Lexington, that's different. That's a college town. The other thing I do think the chip on the shoulder is really a part of this city that you sort of got to understand. No one wants to hear you come in and do what Tubby did, is talk down about the, hey, right. You're not, what we.
Here's
we,
what you are.
Yeah, don't try to redefine Memphis as the least, you know, a version of itself. Don't lecture us about how meaningless we are or whatever. Like I do think it's startling, but it's interesting. How much do you think you have to embrace the public part of the job? The truth of the matter is Laird wasn't particularly public. Now, in the end, I think we graded him well, speaking of grades, because of the money that he got from the Smith family.
Exactly. And strong.
Yeah, and whether he is to be credited for that or he just happened to whatever, I will never know the answer to that. Is the public job part of it important?
Of course it is, and we've sort of listened, whether it's been Tom Bowen or Laird Veach. I mean, we've graded those guys in that department. Now, can you still be effective and that not necessarily be your strength? Absolutely, and we saw that. You know, we saw Tom Bowen be effective with it with football. And
you're right. He wasn't a public dude.
100%. I mean, do you remember Tom Bowen sweating in that first press conference? And the ones where it's like, damn, you know, we could almost hear him cursing under his breath at some of them just because it was
right.
It wasn't what he loved.
He hated it. You're right.
Something that always stuck out about Tom, but he was effective in terms of the job.
Do you think of him as a good AD? Do you think of him as a
I do. It, because I go back to the job he was asked to do. Now, we can argue about basketball, the contract he gave Josh, and sort of how it screwed you. But in terms of the job he was brought here to do from what San Jose State was, build football, Jeff, he did it, didn't he?
I agree.
I mean,
100%.
He absolutely did the job. And so, and we can argue on RC. RC came, hey, basketball's strong, but he let, you know, football falls off. And so in the end, I mean, with Tom, you built the you, you were, you achieve the job you were handed. One last thing on Ed Scott before I get out of here. You've brought it up. You've touched on your column. It is a historic day in the sense that this is Memphis's first black athletic director, and finally, you know, and you could say it's overdue for a student body that's almost 60% minority. I know Mark Giannotto was pointing that out before he got out of here, that Memphis should have its next athletic director should be black. Listen, there's a layer of pressure on Ed Scott just for what we laid out, how much attention there is on that athletic department and passion for it. But there's also, Jeff, you look around, there aren't many Ed Scotts, particularly in FBS. A couple of years ago, I saw the number at 11. And so there's a pressure, obviously, on him, just like there is on any first black in a field or a job or in a place where you look around and mostly everybody is white, right, to be successful, to achieve things in that role so that hopefully as one of the few, you are helping you are opening eyes, whether it's other presidents or whatever else, other presidents, put it that way, in terms of who they're hiring. You're opening eyes that, oh, you know what? Yeah, we want to push diversity too, and we're going to put our money where our mouth is in terms of showing that. We're going to make our leaders diverse. We're going to have a diverse athletic department, a diverse, you know, administration. Bill Hargrave had sort of made that pledge. And so I think that's an important part of this, is Memphis is doing what it said it was going to do, a school that has said, hey, our diversity is one of our strengths. Well, now you're showing it in terms of your positions of leadership. I think that's important. And Ed Scott is going to naturally feel a pressure as one of the few blacks doing what he's doing to be successful for his race, so that for others and for opening up eyes, you can hopefully open up other opportunities. That's a huge factor in this, and why that today is historic in that sense for this Memphis athletic department.
I have to say, maybe I shouldn't have expected anything else, but I've been so disappointed in the reaction. Literally, I tweeted today when I came out. I said, just tweeted the news, first black, you know, whatever else. And sure, you get so much pushback from, who cares? This is 2024. Who cares? And I can't believe that's your narrative. It's a fact. And if it's a fact, and it's a fact to be applauded. And listen, if it were routine that Memphis was hiring at black athletic directors, I wouldn't have commented on it. But it's not routine.
Right.
When it becomes routine, I will celebrate and I will not point it out. But it's just the fact that people are so triggered when you even want to acknowledge that there is some value in having a black AD. It's been really revealing and disappointing to me the way people have reacted. I mean, I didn't even do what Giannotto did, which is write the column saying they should hire a black AD, which I don't disagree with. But I didn't write. I just said first black AD, and all of a sudden you get, don't tell me that. I don't care. It's irrelevant. Just calm down and be happy that after seven whites.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Light department.
I have to say, maybe I shouldn't have expected anything else, but I've been so disappointed in... and the reaction. Literally, I tweeted today when I came out. I said, just tweeted the news, first black, whatever else. And sure. You get so much pushback from, who cares? This is 2024. Who cares? And I can't believe that's your narrative. I can't. It's a fact. And if it's a fact and it's a fact to be applauded. And listen, if it were routine that Memphis was hiring at black athletic directors, I wouldn't have commented on it. But it's not routine.
Right.
When it becomes routine, I will celebrate and I will not point it out. But it's just the fact that people are so triggered when you even want to acknowledge that there is some value in having a black AD. It's been really revealing and disappointing to me the way people have reacted. I mean, I didn't even do what Giannotto did, which is write the column saying they should hire a black AD, which I don't disagree with. But I didn't write. I just said first black AD, and all of a sudden you get, don't tell me that. I don't care. Whatever. It's irrelevant. Just calm down and be happy that after seven whites.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.